but we'll take a good nap later. Ephesians chapter 6. Hey, folks, we're down to the last chapter in our study in the book of Ephesians, and there's some really neat stuff here. Today, we're going to be dealing with Christ's likeness in the home as it relates to children and parents, so I hope this is going to be a blessing to you. Christ's likeness in the home relating to children and parents. Let me move this so it doesn't make so many scratches if I can help it. There. I hate to hear that brushing sound. I'm sure you do too. Ephesians chapter 6 and verse 1. Children. Amen. All he needs is the last phrase, and I don't even have to read verse 1. That's way cool. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Amen. We've got one over there. Then, amen. That's good. Honor thy father and mother, which is the first commandment with promise, that it may be well with thee, and that thou mayest live long on the earth. And ye fathers, provoke not your children to wrath, but bring them up in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. Let's pray. Lord, there is nothing more important than our Christian homes. And Lord, it is so hard for us to fight as dads, as moms, as young people, to fight against our sinful selves. And so, Lord, we know that if we're not successful at this, the home can become a miserable place. And so it's my earnest prayer that you teach us from your word. Give me wisdom to help your people with life applications from a lifelong experience, I pray in Jesus' name. Amen. To become Christ-like in our lives, we need to work on our relationships as wives and husbands. But when we get to chapter 6 of Ephesians, he continues the theme, but now he's going to focus on our relationship with children. We say, what if you don't have children? Listen, I tell you what, I think those who do not have children right now can be some of the most important people in the local church based on how you deal with the other kids, with other people's children. And attitude is important. You know, we can look at them as those terrible little noisy annoyances that run around the fellowship hall when we're trying to visit and have lunch, or we can see them as something entirely more valuable. And so this, I want to give you a checkup from the neck up to make sure you don't have hardening of the attitudes, okay? We're just going to deal with that. So remember that these instructions are all part of what the Lord wants us to live by means of the Holy Spirit. Look back in chapter 5 and verse 18. And be not drunk with wine, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Pleirousthe and pneumatai in the Greek. It means that by the means of the Holy Spirit, become like Jesus Christ. Let me ask you a question. Are little children ever an irritant to you? And if you don't shake your head yes, there's no one honest in the whole room. Because oftentimes they are, and it's our own kids can be an irritant in the room. Jesus knew that. Remember in Matthew chapter 18 when they asked him the question, who's going to be the greatest in the kingdom? And immediately Jesus turns around and he takes this little child and sets him on his lap. And it became just an absolute irritant to the disciples. And his whole point was, is he said, I want you to know who's really important to me. These little ones are very important. So by the Spirit of God, we are to make sure that we develop a biblical relationship. And so he begins by saying, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. Let me ask you a question. Without parental involvement, instruction, and enforcement, what good is that verse going to do to any kid that's under 5? It's going to have none effect, right? It's going to have none effect. In other words, it's an instruction that needs implementation from without. It needs parental, family, local church implementation. So we are to remember that under this heading verse that we are to submit ourselves one to another in the fear of God, chapter 5 and verse 21, God calls us to teach our children Christ-like obedience. And the idea, the word obey, children are to be obedient, comes from a Greek word hupkauo, meaning to listen well, and obey with the right attitude, because the Lord is watching. Obey is, in the Greek, present active imperative. That means you're to be doing it all the time, that you and the child, especially the subject there, are to be involved in this. And it says that this is right, and that word right comes from the Greek word dikaios, which appears over 81 times in the New Testament, which is really the idea behind righteousness. It's getting children to do the righteous thing, getting children to do that which is pleasing unto the Lord. So let me talk to you. Can I help you as a dad who's lived a long time and preached for over 40 years and been in a bunch of churches? I want to help you with how to train your children to be obedient. Now, when they're little and they're going through the earlier phases, it's important that you have what I call seasons of instruction. Now, I'm going to step over here. We're going to use the dog world for a little bit, okay? And it doesn't completely equate, so don't apply what I'm going to teach you in the dog world to your kids, okay? Don't go there, or we're going to be in trouble. You're going to be in prison. But when we get a dog, one of the things that you do, as soon as they quit teething, we do what's called force break them. Force breaking, what we do is we'll take their lip and curl it underneath their teeth and squeeze until we can put a what we call a retriever dummy in their mouth, and they'll hold it. If they spit it out, we pinch the lip and do that, and you pinch the lip and you do it 7 minutes in the morning, and you do it 7 minutes in the evening. Is this making a lot of noise, or is it just me? Okay. Anyway, you do it 7 minutes in the morning, you do it 7 minutes in the evening, and pretty soon you'll find that the dog gets compliant. But you haven't won anything. What you have to do is do it long enough until the dog says, I'm not going to do this anymore. I'm sick and tired of this. I'm not going to sit and hold this little dumb anymore. I'll just spit it out. I've had it. I'm not going to do it anymore. Then you've just begun to confront the will. And until you confront the will, you'll never actually change the dog. You have to change the dog by confronting the will. And I remember in training the three dogs, each one trained completely different. And you're going to have to learn that about your kids. Each one of your kids are going to train completely different. They are going to be different. Matthew, we put Matthew to bed, and he was asleep. He's over there. We put Rissa to bed, and at 1 in the morning, she's standing on the side of the crib looking around going, she was just a night person. She was just lit. So each kid is different. Each one of those dogs that I trained was different. But finally, when I got them to the point as to where I was forcing them to hold that, what's called force breaking, you got them to the place as to where when they go, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. I'm going to do this. And you know when you have a dog that is really well trained? It's not when you take and you can throw something across the yard or retrieve it every time. It's when the dog is in heel position and you drop it at your feet and you say, fetch. And it picks it up and sits, and it picks it up and sits. It does monotonous repetition because of the relationship it has with the trainer. Now, let me take that over to the child world. Let me take that over in the children's world. One of the key things that you need to learn in disciplining children is you need to learn to discipline not near as much actions as you do attitudes. Discipline the attitudes of a child. When a child comes up and says, can I do this? And you say yes or whatever, and then they don't do a good job, and you go to them and you're going to deal with them, mark how their attitude is. Or when you tell a child, no, that you cannot do this, and this has happened to every one of our kids, so I'm not picking on anybody, if they throw themselves on the floor, or they have a fit, or they start crying, or they start screaming, immediately we want to say, listen, when I tell you to pick up your toy, or when I tell you to do that, I want you to do that, and this isn't a response. You've made a mistake. You've just wired them and said, when I tell you to do this particular thing, step A, I expect response B. I want you to have a good attitude about that. We've made a mistake, haven't we? Is we don't want them to have a good attitude about that. We want them to have a good attitude. So don't discipline them for what they didn't do. Discipline them for the attitude. Now, it gets tiresome, doesn't it, Mom and Dad? It gets tiresome. Because the child will, they go through phases. Dogs, I don't know whether you know or not, dogs go through their terrible twos also. I was hunting way up in Manitoba, and I had my veteran dog along, Tally, and I had my 2-year-old dog, Reed, which was a knothead from the time he was born. I just asked my wife, he was a knothead. Anyway, we're up there, and we're hunting on this beautiful place called Broken Pipe Lake, and the ducks and everything are flying in, and we're dropping these, and Tally was kind of tired, my veteran, and so I went and got the 2-year-old and went out there, and I sent him fetch, and he went out, man, he bound out there to get the duck, which he's done a whole bunch of times, picked up the duck, turned around and looked at me and went,
And he's out in a muck swamp, and there's nothing that I can do. Absolutely nothing I can do. So I don't have the shock collar on him. And the other thing that I usually carried was a wrist rocket and marbles so that you could shoot him in the butt and give him a command, and then they know that they got it. But he stood out there like, yeah, what are you going to do about it? And I said, I'll tell you what I'm going to do about it. I'm going to go back up to the truck, and I'm going to get my veteran. And she brought her back down, and she did retrieve it. Well, that two-year-old just sat there, and now he knows. He knew. He was faster than me. He could go through the swamp more than me. He's just going to run around. But at some point in time, he's going to make his way back to me. And there was a dark cloud arising on the horizon. And he knew it, and I knew it. And he knew as soon as he got within this distance, things were going to change in our relationship. But he was going through his terrible twos. So let me tell you, when you run into children and you're trying to teach them obedience, let me help you with something. Parents, sit down when the kid's not around and plan a two-week period of time of intense training to deal with attitudes. Do a two-week period of time. You cannot do this all the time, or the child will think that the home is just this miserable, horrible, terrible. And again, you can only discipline them to the degree that is according to their age and maturity. You know, some grandparents look at a grandchild and they think that child needs to be spanked 30 times a day for the next 14 years. We can't be doing that kind of thing. You just can't do that. The other thing is after a while, if you just discipline at this accelerated level all the time, they're going to what? Acclimate to it. They will. They're acclimate to that. So you need to sit down and say, okay, we've got one of our children or two of our children, whatever. We're going through that defiant stage. I'll never forget one of our kids, I won't mention because otherwise I'll get a phone call this afternoon if they hear this on the internet. Colleen and I were preaching down, I was preaching, and she was with me down at First Baptist in Hibby. And we were over at the pastor's house. It's not the pastor that's there. And the pastor's wife, I don't know, it was just after lunch or whatever it was, but the pastor's wife said something to Matthew. And Matthew was, how old do you think he was? Four? Five? Something like that. Matthew turns around to the pastor's wife, and he goes, she's a godly lady. She just turned, because she knew what was coming. The bus just rolled into town, the discipline bus. But the biggest problem for me was I didn't want to discipline this person out of embarrassment, because that's not doing anything for the child. That's not doing anything for the child. I needed to discipline the child to learn that that occasion and what they did at that particular occasion wasn't the problem. It was a constant attitude of trying to deal with the attitude more than anything else. But this is what I recommend that you do. You set aside a two-week window. Some kids, it's going to be a month-long window. Others, you set aside a two-week window, and you agree as parents. You know what? This is attitude adjustment thing. And you're going to have to do something. Ask them to do things that you know are going to trip their trigger. Ask them to do things that you know are going to trip their trigger. And teach them the obedience response. Something I preach for years and years and years as a youth pastor is this. Obedience is action with the right attitude. And compliance is not obedience. If you teach a child that, I want you to pick up your toys, and they, no, I don't want you to pick up my toys. I said, pick up the toys. Well, now, okay. And I'll tell you what. Have they obeyed? The answer to that is no. Have they complied? The answer to that is yes. What does God ask of you? All right, God, I'll do that. Huh? How's God going to deal with you in that? Is he going to chasten you? You bet he is. Obedience is action with the right attitude. But you know what? We're dealing with a sin nature, and that's hard. And little ones can't control their little sin nature. So the training thing of a child is going to take repetitive seasons of exceptional discipline to accomplish long-term goals. But again, it's not good to be that hard all the time on a child. And yet I see some parents, because of exasperation, they go, oh man, I tried that for a while and I just got tired, and so now we're just going to kind of let it go because I can't take it anymore. That's just as destructive to a child. So you need to do the parental plan, especially when they hit certain age groups. You know, the little child that's grown up, as soon as they get to the no and the sticking out the tongue kind of thing, all right, we're at a crossroads here. Now, when they understand defiance, you can define discipline. And so we need to teach them to obey. Children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is what? For this is right. But I'm telling you, the little ones in this room, you know, even ones from, you know, 8, 9 years old on down, they don't know what that means without definition. And who's going to give them the definition? Who's going to teach them those things? And the way that you do that is teaching them to have the right attitude. Huh? You see, teenagers go out in the world and they disrespect cops. They disrespect our flag. They disrespect the military. Where do you think all that comes from? It comes from parents who never discipline their attitudes. They only discipline their actions. In other words, I can drive my car drunk at 70 miles an hour unless I get caught. Right? Unless you get caught. It was not the whole attitude, man, I need to obey law enforcement. Law enforcement is my friend. All that begins as a little one to change the entire mentality. And in order to do that, again, you can't spank them 20 times a day for the next 20 years. You can't do that. It needs to be done on the premise of what I need to do is deal with their attitudes. Obedience is action with the right attitude. And I would encourage every one of you parents to memorize that. And I would encourage you to say that to your children. So when you ask them to do something, obedience is action with the right attitude. One of the things I used to teach as an illustration. When I worked, my dad bought a resort when I was 11 years old. And we moved to northern Minnesota, and I became a dock boy. The first summer, I was 12. The first summer, I worked from 5 in the morning till almost 1 in the morning every day all summer. And I'll never forget, my dad would call up, and we were tired. And I was just a kid. And I learned to fillet fish really well as my brother did. And Dad would get on the intercom and say, hey, on Memorial Day weekend 1969, just that weekend, my brother and I filleted 576 walleye. Just that one weekend. And so let me tell you, as a kid, you get sick of it. That's one of the reasons we got good at it, because we were sick of it. But anyway, the intercom would come, and Dad would say, hey, 30 walleyes up here to come and fillet. And very early on, because of the way Dad, and again, God and Dad, all the credit for this, would say, okay, Dad, I'll be right up. Let me ask you a question. Did I do the job with the right attitude because I liked that job? No, I hated it. But I learned that when my dad asked me to do something hard, and I said yes with a good attitude, I learned something. It pleased my best friend. And the next time I'd see Daddy, he put his arm around me. Oh, for just one more of those. Hey, son, great job. I'm proud of you. Thank you. And so what happened over time, because Dad disciplined my attitude, not just my actions, the depth of the love relationship that was developed between me and Dad was just nothing short of amazing. I mean, until Colleen came along, Dad was my best friend and was throughout my entire life next to Colleen. So children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. The idea is obedience is teaching them that action with the right attitude, developing seasonal disciplinary measures. And make sure the child's not around, but don't come down on the child really hard for an isolated event. You know, like when Matthew stuck his tongue out. Yeah, he got a spanking, but it was not one of the worst ones of his life. Always factor in some things. Was the child sick? Was the child tired? Is the child upset about something? Always factor those things in. But look at your child, and if you see a pattern of a bad attitude, be alarmed. Be alarmed at the pattern. Not necessarily the really, you know, bad occasion or violation of the really, you know, really good, you know, demonstration either. God looks at our lives in the same way we are to look at our children. God looks at the attitude. How much of my preaching is designed for us as a congregation to tune our attitudes to be what we should be in our approach to God? How much of it is? There's a ton of it, isn't there? There's a ton of it. How about your parenting? How about the grandparenting? How about with children around? We need to be intolerant of bad attitudes much more than bad behavior. Because when we teach them that all you need to do is comply to me and it doesn't matter what your attitude is, we have taught them that rebellion against God is okay as long as you have external compliance.
Nothing could be worse for establishing the whole pattern for the gospel. So, children, obey your parents in the Lord, for this is right. And we need to teach our children to submit the right way. Colossians, and I'll end with this. Colossians chapter 3, a passage you know really well. Children, obey your parents in all things, for this is well-pleasing unto the Lord. Now, is God asking you to lay out 75 different things that your children are to be obedient in? Or is he asking you to develop an attitude in your child that no matter what you ask them to do, they're going to be obedient? Right? It's no matter what you ask them to do that they're going to be obedient. That takes time, consistency, and discipline. And the underlying foundation of all of it needs to be what? A genuine love to do that. And not selfish fathers don't discipline. Selfish mothers don't discipline attitudes. Fathers, provoke not your children to anger, lest they be discouraged. You know what is the greatest way you can provoke your child to anger? Inconsistency in disciplining attitudes. Letting them get away with bad attitudes. So, what have we learned this little afternoon session and I'm done? We've learned that obedience is action with the right attitude. Now, the little ones in this room, they need to learn that. Obedience is action with the right attitude. But I tell you, who's the one that I need to wrestle with before God that obedience is action with the right attitude? Yeah, that's right, it's me. It's really hard for me to call this size person to it when this size person isn't doing it. Right? It's really hard for us to do that. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the boys and girls. Thank you for the families. We love them. And we want to see them grow in the nurture and admonition of the Lord. And for the moms and dads here, Lord, for the parents here, we pray and ask that you give them wisdom and that you give them endurance and strength and that love to discipline attitudes, not just actions. And I pray and ask, Father, that you would guide them as to how to implement that for seasons of intense discipline and followed up by seasons of love and reward and instruction. And so, Father, for all the rest of us, which sometimes we have to go along the way through the irritating times, through those windows of hard discipline, or for the window of discipline that needs to be maybe next month, and so we're suffering along with it now, Lord, give us a love for the little ones. Give us an endurance. Give us patience and help us to be a good example and help us never to look at them just as an annoyance, Lord, but help us to look at them as our future and the blessings that you want to accomplish in their lives. So, Lord, as we go our separate ways, dismiss us with your blessing to live for you, to love you, and to be an encouragement, we pray. In Jesus' name, amen. And for the little ones, suffer the little children to come unto me and forbid them not, because I want to beat the snot out of them. No, that's not the way the verse goes.